You're listening to a completely new season of Limbic Light Podcast with Manisha Blunchley and co-host David Niven Miller. In this season, we'll be discussing slightly controversial, extremely useful topics designed to help and empower you with knowledge about simple products and methods to make you healthier in completely natural, safe, effective, and affordable ways. I've titled this season Unspoken Truths, as the information you'll receive is information which is so often hard to find and sometimes blatantly hidden from us. So, welcome. So, hello everyone. We are back for another episode of Unspoken Truths podcast. And today I'm here with our co-host, David Niven Miller, and we're going to be talking about a very interesting topic. It's something that we call the master mineral. It's magnesium, and it's so important to all of us. So we thought we would cover this topic for you. In this session, we're going to give you a general overview of the mineral. We're going to look at some of the health benefits, some of the symptoms of when you might be deficient in magnesium, and some of the reasons why you might actually be deficient. We're going to look at boron and magnesium together, and also look at how magnesium works with toxic minerals or toxic metals, what it does for them. We'll also be looking at the role of magnesium in some of our most prominent current health conditions. We'll be speaking about oral supplementation of magnesium versus topical, that means rubbing on of magnesium, and how they compare. We'll also be looking at magnesium oil, how we can make it, what some of the effects might be. And finally, we'll be touching on Epsom salts baths, so some of the things that you can do very easily for yourself. So, welcome, David. It's lovely to have you again with us. How are you?
Thank you, Manisha. I'm really well and, enjoying doing these interviews with you.
That's wonderful. So am I. And I can't wait to dive into this topic. It's fantastic. So what about you start with just a general overview about magnesium mineral?
Sure. Magnesium is an element of all the micronutrients that we need in the body. Magnesium is probably the element that we need in largest quantities. So getting sufficient magnesium is a key to good health and longevity. And most people today, just about everybody, is deficient in magnesium. On a modern diet, we get around half of what our ancestors used to get only a century ago. In a standard American diet, we just get a tiny fraction of the magnesium that we actually need. And magnesium is essential for all sorts of processes in the body. We need it for production of energy, for growth, for healthy muscles and muscle strength, for our heart and arterial systems, for nervous systems. At a more prosaic level, we need magnesium to relax physically and mentally. Magnesium is also a mineral balancer, so it dissolves excess calcium in the body. And magnesium is antagonistic towards, so magnesium reduces the levels of aluminium, cadmium, lead, mercury, nickel, and so on in the body. So it's a very important mineral to be sufficient in if we're living in today's polluted environments.
I'll say. So it's got so many functions. One of the top functions that I often see it being used for is for its effect on the nervous system. As you said, it's so useful for people who are stressed or anxious, and I've also seen it used for insomnia, but also for muscle problems, muscle tightness and tension. They're the things that I've most seen magnesium used for, but it expands so much beyond that. The list just goes on for what it can actually be used for. So what about you touch on what would you expect to see in a person if they didn't have enough magnesium in their body? What are some of the signs you'd see?
It's actually quite difficult to connect the dots. I'll go through a list of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, and you'll see that the list is so long that it's difficult to say if you've got one or several of these symptoms, you're magnesium deficient. My approach with important minerals like magnesium, and then there's iodine and zinc and so on, is there's so many symptoms of deficiency, and they're such wonderful minerals that, and they do no harm if you start supplementing them or getting your levels up, that it's almost like you do, if you have a couple of symptoms, just blindly assume that you're deficient and start supplementing, because they do no harm. It's the wonderful effect of supplementation of some of these important minerals. So symptoms of magnesium deficiency include aching muscles and joints, mental symptoms like ADHD or depression or not feeling good in some way, acid reflux. Magnesium is important for producing good stomach acidity. It's important for your immune system. So allergies are quite common. Magnesium is really important for all kinds of bone health. So arthritis and osteoporosis are associated with magnesium insufficiency. Asthma is another one. Blood clots, bone spurs. If you're magnesium deficient, you have an increased risk of a variety of cancers. Here's a simple one. If you're magnesium deficient, you may have a craving for chocolate or for salt. Mm. You're likely to be low in energy, possibly suffering chronic fatigue. You may be constipated. Magnesium deficiency is associated with constipation. And we'll talk about this later, but if you are supplementing with magnesium, especially orally, you're likely to have diarrhea or go to the other end of the spectrum. Cystitis, epilepsy, erectile dysfunction, gout, heart disease, heart arrhythmia, high blood pressure, insomnia, that's an important one. If you're not sleeping well, one of the first things to go to is magnesium. Menstrual problems, kidney disease, migraines, muscle cramps. That's another symptom. If you're suffering from muscle cramps, start supplementing with salt and with magnesium. All kinds of bone problems, musculoskeletal problems, Dupuytren's disease. If you have Dupuytren's disease, which is a clenched hand and lines of tension across your hand, magnesium is the go-to remedy there. Nervous problems, neurological problems, restless leg syndrome, that's another one, that's a quick one. Skin problems, premature wrinkles, aging skin, various toxic stresses, including sensitivity to stress, and tooth decay. Oh, so goodness. All that wide variety of symptoms is associated with magnesium deficiency.
There's so many, isn't there? I was thinking of all these comments I wanted to make as you were talking, but I didn't want to interfere. But yeah, for example, premenstrual tension, when some women before they get their periods can really have a hard time. I know magnesium can work a treat. Yeah, there's just so many in there, but we'll discuss it a little bit more. And one of the things that I often think about, because it's so prevalent in this day and age, is anxiety. And you mentioned the nervous system. And I read an article once that was quoting a study that was saying that taking decent amount of magnesium was equivalent and even more effective than taking anti-anxiety drugs, which, you know, have problems such as addictions. So if people know
absolutely, Manisha. Mm. Magnesium is a key to stress, relaxing, getting good sleep, and magnesium is one of those supplements that you can take before you go to bed. So with magnesium sufficiency, you don't feel stressed, you feel happier with life, and you sleep well.
Mm, That's fantastic. So you mentioned a little bit before about that we are so much more deficient in these current modern day age than what we were in our historical times. And maybe you could touch on some of the reasons why are we so deficient in magnesium in this current day?
Sure. The first thing is that we're just not getting sufficient magnesium in our diets. 100 years ago, the level of magnesium in farm soils was much higher. Magnesium is not getting replaced in farm soil. And the other thing is that the standard American diet with a high level of processed food component is magnesium deficient. Our diets are the primary cause of magnesium deficiency. But there's a couple of other causes. Digestive disorders and various gastrointestinal problems can result in poor magnesium absorption. So many people are losing magnesium through excretion. Another important cause of magnesium deficiency is chronic stress. Mm. When you're stressed, you tend to produce more cortisol and other adrenocortical hormones, mm-hmm. but cortisol is responsible for lowering the magnesium level in the body. Mm. Another cause, if you suffer from diarrhea or loose stools, if you generally tend towards having loose stools, you're more likely to be magnesium deficient. Mm. Another cause is pharmaceuticals. If you're regularly taking diuretics or some antibiotics and a variety of other pharmaceutical drugs, they remove magnesium from your body. Mm. And the last common cause is alcohol. If you're drinking alcohol regularly, a reasonably large quantity, that doesn't help with magnesium sufficiency. Mm.
Coming back to the pharmaceutical medications, when I worked a lot with women, I would always check to see if they were taking the contraceptive pill. And I knew that the contraceptive pill was responsible for really depleting magnesium levels. So I would always put women who were taking contraceptive pills to supplement high levels of magnesium. Now, David, you mentioned something before, and it triggered my memory. It was about calcium and its use, the magnesium's use for bone health, such as osteoporosis. Now, I know a lot of mature women who have been diagnosed with osteoporosis, and one of the most common things that the conventional medicine says is take calcium. But in my mind, I've always thought magnesium is probably even more important than calcium. And of course, they have a relationship to each other, don't they? The magnesium and the calcium. So could you speak to us a little bit about that magnesium-calcium ratio and how it affects our bone health?
Sure. The most important thing is there's an epidemic of osteoporosis in the world today. And people think osteoporosis, bone health, calcium, I must get more calcium. And people tend to supplement with calcium. Unfortunately, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Do not take calcium pills. Do not take calcium in any kind of pill form and do not supplement with calcium minerals. It's very unfortunate. Your body needs calcium for sure. And it needs large quantities of calcium, but it will quite adequately and easily get that calcium through a healthy diet. There's plenty of calcium in green vegetables and the bones of fish and sardines, and particularly in a variety of vegetables. And the way to get your body to absorb calcium is with sufficiency of magnesium and boron. And we did a separate podcast on boron and how important it is. But if you're sufficient in magnesium and boron, you've just about won the battle for getting sufficient calcium. So it's important to up other minerals rather than trying to supplement with calcium. And the other mistake with calcium is you're not going to get it by supplementing with dairy products. So high calcium milk and low fat milk is a terrible mistake. That's not the way to get calcium. Get it through vegetables and mineral sufficiency instead.
That's great. And I used to often hear the little meme or statement that magnesium's what gives the bones flexibility, so that if there is a fall with osteoporosis, there's that ability to bend and flex and take a bit of a shock. So there's another good reason why maybe magnesium's used or necessary in those aging bones. That's fantastic. Yes. You did also mention about boron and magnesium. They're both such essential and great minerals for bone health, but all sorts of things. But you did mention that boron insufficiency can sometimes be read as a magnesium insufficiency or vice versa. So it's often good to take them both. Could you comment on that?
They assist each other, and they're both wonderful supplements in that it's hard to overdose with them. With both of them, if your body has sufficiency, it just excretes the rest or doesn't absorb the rest. So, and they're very cheap, both borax or boron through borax and magnesium, as we'll see in this interview, are easily available and very easy to supplement with.
That's great. It's such good, empowering information for people to know about that two simple minerals that are going to help them so much. Now, coming down to toxic metals or toxic minerals, which there are so many around, of course, just in our very common vaccination inoculations these days, there are levels of aluminium and mercury, there's sprays, there's dental procedures. The toxic minerals such as aluminium, cadmium, mercury, and lead. There was mention of that magnesium actually plays a really strong role in being able to detoxify some of those heavy metals out of our body. So could you speak about that a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. Fortunately, magnesium is an antagonist to aluminium, cadmium, lead, mercury, nickel, and a couple of other minerals, toxic minerals. So if you have a sufficiency of magnesium, and again, boron as well is also an excellent antagonist to most of those elements. So if you have a sufficiency of magnesium and of boron, it's actually a lot more difficult for those toxic minerals to build up in your body. And that's why it's important to have a long-term sufficiency. Focusing on getting magnesium sufficiency for the rest of your life means that you're going to be a lot more resilient towards the negative effects of heavy metals and of toxic metals. It's quite simple. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So I don't know if you want to talk about it, but we did mention how many things magnesium does. But some of the issues that I'm seeing a lot of in my own clinic working with people, there's a huge rise in cancer, of course, and magnesium plays a role in that. Blood clots and heart problems as well, and magnesium's really important in that. So, and of course, I'm seeing a lot of people struggling with anxiety and insomnia. So all of these symptoms and stress and aching joints and muscles, all of these are just huge at the moment. And it seems like magnesium's the perfect remedy or mineral that could help all of those things.
Absolutely. In fact, the podcast series that we're doing and what we're going to talk about, getting sufficiency in a few major areas like vitamin D from sunlight, magnesium and the way that we recommend getting it, boron and iodine. If you have sufficiency in those basic areas, you're likely to be far more resilient towards all these modern diseases and the problems that you've just mentioned. The go-to for mental problems and feeling depressed and stressed, magnesium is the number one, and iodine is very, very important there as well. So with any kind of mental problem or psychological problem, sufficiency of magnesium and sufficiency of iodine will often or even usually cure those problems. It's incredible how two such underappreciated supplements can make such a difference so quickly.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Such simple measures and inexpensive, which
absolutely
so good to know. Now, coming down to, but people are going to be asking, what's the best way to take it? One of my questions that I have, because I have a lot of people saying, yes, I'm taking magnesium, and sometimes I ask them, how are you taking it? So I wanted to cover the topic of oral supplementation of magnesium, which means tablets or powders through the mouth, versus topical, which means magnesium preparations that go onto the skin. And so there's two different ways that we can actually take the magnesium into our body. I thought we could have a bit of a discussion about that. What are your thoughts, David?
Okay, you're quite right. It's oral through the mouth or on your skin. And there's two ways of getting magnesium on your skin, two main ways. The first is magnesium oil, which is basically magnesium chloride, and you rub it on your skin. And that's the method of getting a lot of magnesium into your body or supplementing in a pleasant way. And the second way of getting magnesium through your skin is with Epsom salts, which is magnesium sulfate rather than magnesium chloride. And Epsom salts has been around for well over a century, and it's a lovely way of enhancing your bath. So first of all, let's talk about oral supplementation with magnesium. I said earlier on that I don't recommend any pills as a way of supplementing. And unfortunately, if you're trying to get magnesium through a pill, it's first of all not going to be absorbed very well. And secondly, as it goes down through your digestive system, it's likely to cause loose stools or even diarrhea. So getting magnesium orally is not what I recommend. I think it's much better to get magnesium through your skin. And as I said, in general, I don't recommend any kind of pills as a supplement, a micronutrient supplement.
Just on that, I just wanted to touch on the subject. A lot of people don't actually realize how porous or how absorbing our skin actually is, that whatever we put on our skin actually is dragged into our blood system, into our body. So a lot of people don't give it the required appreciation of a method to supplement our body. It's transdermal, it's often called. In other words, dermal is skin and trans is through the skin. So it's a very well recognized method to supplement our body. But most people think that if we medicate or if we take something into our body, we have to take pills or powders. But it's not necessarily the case. And sometimes, as you're saying now, there are some cases where it's actually better to put it onto the skin. And this is one of those cases, particularly because of the effects that the magnesium can have on our guts. It can give us unsettled guts or loose stools or diarrhea and lack of absorption through the gut. So I just wanted to reinforce that point for people to understand that.
Yes. A few decades ago, the general understanding in the scientific community and in particularly in the medical community was that your skin is a barrier and it's a good barrier and nothing gets through your skin. That is completely wrong. Your skin is extremely porous, and it's got a level of almost intelligence in it. So if you need magnesium, you'll absorb magnesium, whatever is available, through your skin quite quickly. And if you don't need something, like if you've got sufficiency of a particular mineral, your skin absorbs less of it. It's really quite intelligent in that sense.
It's amazing. And one of the things that you mentioned before, not actually in this podcast, but I was reading what you were saying about swimming in the ocean, in our beautiful ocean that has so many minerals, including a lot of magnesium. And of course, if we do that regularly, we are going to actually absorb some of that magnesium from swimming in the ocean. So that is actually another effective way to get some magnesium into our body, isn't it? David?
It is, but in fact, it's quite difficult to get a lot of magnesium by swimming in the ocean. A couple of reasons. It's very interesting that around the world, different oceans vary substantially in their mineral content. So you'd think that all the oceans are connected so that the minerals would be pretty much the same, but that's not the case. And I know that in West Australia, there is magnesium in the seawater, but it's not particularly high. And the water is also cold, so pores tend to be closed. And it's you do absorb some magnesium and a couple of other minerals while you're swimming, but it's quite difficult to get sufficient magnesium just by swimming. So I swim quite regularly, but I don't count on my swimming getting me enough magnesium.
Okay, well, that's good to know. When I go swimming in the ocean, I often like to leave the salt on my body for a period of time, not only for the magnesium, but for all the minerals that we're exposed to. And yeah. I just like that. Maybe I'm imagining it, but it feels as if I'm getting a good layer of minerals into my body.
Yeah, and
I just wanted to talk about the magnesium oil. You mentioned magnesium oil is actually magnesium chloride, and I've made magnesium oil quite regularly. It's actually very easy to make. You can buy it as a spray from some companies. I know that there's a good one here in Australia. It's called Electra with a K. So you can buy it ready-made, but you can also buy flakes, magnesium chloride flakes, and dissolve it just with enough water so that those flakes dissolve into a liquid solution. And then that could be put into a spray bottle, or you could be rubbing it on. Some people even mix it with DMSO. That's a carrier that accentuates and highlights whatever you mix it with, and they put that onto their body. So making magnesium oil from magnesium chloride is actually really very inexpensive and very easy. I just wanted to let people know that. However, I wanted you to talk about the stinging, itching effect of this magnesium oil.
Sure. Magnesium oil is readily absorbed and quickly absorbed by your skin. In fact, you generally don't need DMSO to help absorb it, because your skin will do a pretty good job anyway. Mm. But if you put, the more deficient you are in magnesium, the more you need magnesium, the quicker your skin will absorb it. And if you're very deficient and your skin is absorbing it quickly, it tends to itch or sting. So if you put magnesium chloride on your skin and it's stinging or feeling very uncomfortable, that's a sign that you're extremely deficient. But to stop the stinging, just dilute the magnesium chloride more and put it on your hand first, and then rub it into your other parts of your body. And if it's stinging, put it on the less sensitive parts of your body. So when you're first starting to use magnesium oil as a supplement and getting your magnesium levels back to normal, put it on your arms and legs. Rub it on your arms and legs, or spray it there and rub it a bit. And if it stings, it's more manageable there. But if you find that you're putting it on your arms and legs, there's no stinging, and you nothing much seems to be happening, you can put it on your body, your torso, and all over the rest of your body, and just see how you go. So supplementing with magnesium oil or magnesium chloride is kind of a bit suck it and see how you go. Start very gently on your arms and legs, and then graduate to using the rest of your body, and generally try and keep it away from your eyes or your face and the sensitive parts of your body. I wouldn't put it on your genitals, for example, or on any inflamed skin or anywhere that may be more sensitive.
Or broken skin as well, I've found.
Broken skin. Yeah, so go gently to start with, and then build up to using a stronger solution and all over the body.
I have an incident where I sometimes give people massage with the acupuncture that I give them. And I had one gentleman that would insist that I never use the magnesium oil on his back because I quite often like to just give people a bit of a magnesium supplement on their back or parts of their body. But I had this one particular man who just reacted so badly to it, would just sting for ages. And I occasionally would get people like that. And now I understand actually what it's about, that they're actually so deficient that they're sucking so much of that magnesium in that it's giving them that itching, stinging effect. So good to understand that.
Yeah. And that leads on to using Epsom salts. So if the magnesium oil is difficult to use or it's stinging a lot, a more comfortable way to start supplementing with magnesium is Epsom salts, which is magnesium sulfate. And you can put a half a cup of Epsom salts in a bath or in a basin of warm to hot water, you know, comfortably warm, comfortably hot, and then soak in it for a minimum of what I've read is a minimum of 12 minutes and then up to 20 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, but not too much longer. So 12 to 20 minutes soaking in a bath or a foot bath. And that's a lovely, comfortable way of getting magnesium into your body.
I imagine what you soak your feet in actually has systemic effect. In other words, it would go throughout your whole body. So if you don't have a bath, maybe a foot bath is actually a good alternative as well. Simple and easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. Now, I just wanted to bring up, even though we are advocating transdermal magnesium as the primary and probably the best way to go, I did do a little bit of a search to see what sorts of magnesium oral supplements there were. And I went to some of my more favorite researchers or people who are, you know, quite well informed. And Dr. McCullough actually uses a magnesium threonate that it's quite expensive, but it's particularly known for its effect on crossing the brain blood barrier. It's very good for memory and focus and cognition. So anything to do with the brain. I wanted to mention that. There's another form which is sometimes advocated is magnesium malate. Malate is actually used more for the muscles, energy and muscles, and particularly good for fibromyalgia. And then we've got another form of magnesium supplementation. It's glycinate, magnesium glycinate, and that's good for sleep. So there's lots of different combinations of the magnesium that are used for probably different focuses. And if you really want to take it internally, you could look at some of these, the particular one that you need more. Of course, magnesium sulfate, as you mentioned, David, that's the Epsom salts. We don't want to take that internally, but as a bath, it's particularly good for muscle pain and as a detox. And then we've also got magnesium oxide, and magnesium oxide's often been used as a purifier, a gut laxative, and you really would only take very, very small amounts of that. And because it does make the stools very loose, it's generally not actually recommended. And the last one that I came across was magnesium citrate, which is also one for sleep and keeping us calm and particularly good for night twitches. So anyway, I just thought I'd add that in case people do want to take something internally. And the other little tip that I came across was that if you are starting a new magnesium supplement internally, orally, that this is rather funny, but you do it at a time when you've got a couple of days when you can be at home, because it's so common to get laxative effects that sometimes you really might get a strong purge, and it's easier or better, of course, to be at home. So anyway.
Yeah.
That's a wrap up. And anything else you'd like to add, David, before we sign off?
Yeah, the magnesium, all the different forms of magnesium, and particularly Epsom salts, are the traditional assistance for constipation. So, yeah, just kind of confirms what you've just been saying, Manisha.
Mm.
Yeah, I think magnesium is one mineral in particular that it's generally it's more important to get it through your skin. There are a few other supplements that you do take through your skin, but magnesium is the epitome of skin supplementation.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful mineral. If you're taking it through your skin, your body's smart enough not to take too much, so it's difficult to over supplement or get an excessive dose. I do recommend it thoroughly.
Excellent. Yeah. And it's very hydrating and good for wrinkles externally as well. So that's fantastic. So David, we've just about run out of time. So I want to thank you so much for this wonderful chat on magnesium.
Thank you, Manisha. Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely. And we'll be covering another new topic soon.